This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to the E-Square Podcast. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Today for the 30th episode, that's right, 30. We got my boy Brandon, one of my best friends, and we got his business partner and another one of my friends, Gabe. They're music connoisseurs, DJs, behind-the-scenes guys. So let's get into it. Let's go.
Baby.
What's going on, man?
What up? The E-Squared Podcast. I'm your host, Easy Mo. You like this intro now? Remember the first one? Yo, I'm your host, Easy Mo. Today we got one of my best friends, closest confidants, Brandon. And one of my like best friends by association now. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I'm like,
you guys
are together all the time. Me and Brandon talk all the time.
Nice.
My boy Gabe, man. Yeah. What's up?
I appreciate it, man. Love is extended to you.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
When you like close to someone, and even though you don't know the other person they're close to, you still feel like, yo, that's my nigga too.
Yeah, for
like,
sure. Especially when you fuck with the person in the middle, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, they're not, you know, because sometimes, bro, I got friends that just bring around weirdos. Yeah, friends that bring around weirdos. Come on, dude, that makes me not even want to be their friend anymore, you know?
I used to. I feel like that's a part of growing up. It's like getting the weirdos out, and you're kind of like, okay.
For sure.
All right, you kind of, let me get away from you. All right, let me get away from you.
Yeah.
For sure.
You shed the bullshit off.
Shed it off.
Yeah, Brandon's been real quiet all day. He hasn't even said a word. Making me nervous. We talk every day, every morning. I'm on the phone with Brandon.
Dude, he talks business. He don't talk like. Oh, he don't talk. Like
you know
that.
What's? You know
he
what's?
Just wants to talk business.
No, you know what's funny about me and Brandon is like when I talk to Brandon and I try to talk business with him, it's like it doesn't really connect. You know what I mean? Like we talk about shit, but for sure, but like we really just what did we today? We're talking about like his girlfriend's like table company, and he's gonna be the next. He's going to get his girlfriend a contract to get signed to IKEA or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Because the girl makes tables.
I said I'm going to change the independent, the game for the independent table maker.
Exactly. Yeah. Bro, if anybody is capable of doing it, it's you, my friend.
Yeah, shout out all my independent table makers out there.
Shout out to me. That's me, bro. I got my flannel on. I got my beard. I got my bowl of spaghetti. I got my trucker hat, bro. I fit the bill.
Yeah, man. We talked about that in doghouses.
In doghouses, yeah. Wait till I come out.
And just woodworking.
Yeah, wait till I come out with my doghouse, bro. It's gonna fucking go crazy. It's insulated. If anybody's listening and you have a dog... and you need a doghouse, hit me up, because I make doghouses fully insulated. I could customize that bitch, whatever the case is. You know, I'm just not cheap, you know? I'm not,
two-story doghouses?
I can make you a mini house, bro. I can make you a little house in, you know,
shit.
In the backyard
fuck
somewhere.
Fuck the dog then,
fuck
man.
Fuck the dog, yeah.
Make me a fucking house.
Bro, for real.
Dog won't even use a doghouse, so.
You have to train it. Ooh, Lincoln?
No.
Lincoln won't use a doghouse?
No.
Lincoln's part human, bro. He's like, what the fuck is this? Like,
bro,
he looks at a doghouse and he's like, put a dog in there. Dude.
That's funny as fuck.
Yeah. I wish I had a dog that would use a doghouse.
Yeah, you have to train him, bro. I mean, there's hella other dogs over there, so. But all right, I don't know what the fuck we're talking about. But what's up, man? You guys are, I want to mark this occasion as a special occasion because we have Gabe here. Okay, it's his first time on the show.
Thanks, man.
We have Brandon though. Brandon was the very first guest of the E-Square Podcast of all time. Okay, so technically this is his third time on the show because the very very first episode I didn't have any of these cameras. I didn't have any of this nice ass setup. I didn't have any of the lights. It was literally at this table and I had two GoPros. I had two GoPros, like the old GoPros, and we did a whole interview. We did a whole episode, and I looked at the footage, and I was like, this is good, this is cool. Like, you know, the audio sucked, and the video just was fucking terrible. And Brandon looked at it, he was like, bro, like we look like we're in an interrogation room, first 48, and it did. And then he said that, I was like, yeah, this is really bad. So I don't know if I'd be still doing it if it wasn't for you, because if I would have put that bullshit content out and I would have thought that was good, you know, I don't know if I would. I might have got discouraged, you know?
Yeah, well, that just shows how far you ever fucking got, man. You know
Thanks,
what I'm saying?
Thanks, man. Yeah.
This is awesome, bro.
Well, I would like to take credit, but Tenesse, bro. Tenesse. Yeah, Tenesse and Riz and everybody at Junction Complex,
the whole crew,
bro.
Everybody.
The
hey,
crew.
It takes a whole village, man.
Yeah, man. So what have you guys been up to, man, with the music, like, with everything that you got going on? I mean, I kind of know what Brandon's, you know, doing kind of, you know, he keeps me on the outside, you know, looking in. But what, so what?
He does that to everyone. Don't feel a certain way.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So what's up with like your role in what everything going on with the music, and how'd you guys link up? And let's start with you, bro.
Man, how did I link up, man? We met at an event, actually. Yeah, we met at an event, and this is like right after I like first moved here, and I was just running around Vegas trying to get around, meeting people, mm-hmm. like just getting my name out there, but not in a sense. I wasn't trying to, just like, because where I'm from a small town in Florida, so there's like no culture.
You're a Florida dude?
Yeah, I'm from Florida, man.
Explains
the hair.
I've
only been out here for like 4 years.
Explains the hair.
Well, I've only been growing the hair out for 2 years, but yes, yes.
Damn.
But... we met I was just out doing my thing, man.
Yeah, were you involved in music in Florida?
Yeah, me and my friends, man, shout out High Life. I was always involved in music some way, somehow, yeah. Running with them.
You do and music, then, too?
Yeah, I used to. I don't anymore, but, you know.
You hung it up?
Yeah, that was a while ago. That was just a phase, because I was just doing music at the time. I would say for myself, like, mm-hmm. even now, like, I'll just do it for myself. Like, I'm definitely not the person that, oh, I want to see my face in the lights. Like,
yeah,
dude,
yeah.
I could care less about any of that.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So it was more of like dude, that's not my, like, yeah. that's not my MO. Like,
You had to try it to realize you didn't want to do it.
Yeah. And like, when you go somewhere new, you can kind of like do all the things that you didn't know you could do.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Like, who knew? I didn't know where I would be back then. So, like, going to a new market and you're like, okay, like, let me, like, use all my talents and myself and mm-hmm. put it out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, when you, I think living somewhere else, like, other than you grow, like, moving and going somewhere else really helps you grow.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
I mean, I try and tell people back home all the time. I'm like, dude, like... It's cool, I understand it. Like, hold down where you're from, always. Mm-hmm. But, like, you have to get out there and you have to see new things, man.
Yeah, what part of Florida were you from?
Central Florida. Like, okay. A half an hour from Gainesville, if you know where that is, where the UF plays.
Right.
So, small country town, man.
Like, really? You're a country boy?
Oh, yeah. And people don't, man, people down there when I was a kid, they used to be like, oh, you're from, you Cali boy. Or you. I'm like, dude. From here, man. Right. But I was,
Wow.
Or they'd be like, oh, you're from New York, like, because you don't talk like you're from the South. You don't talk like.
Is it racist down there?
Did
you experience racism?
Oh, hell yeah.
In the South?
Hell yeah.
See, we're not, like, did you ever really experience racism growing up here?
Not Southern racism, but, like, definitely, like.
But, like, did you know about it when it happened when you were, like, younger? Or did you have to, like, look back on it and be like...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know where we grew up. It was all niggas and shit. So, like, bro, I would get, like, dumbass tickets for, like, riding my bike on the wrong side of the street. And shit like that. Like, just dumb shit.
But
Nothing like, you know, no one ever called me, like, an... You know what I'm saying? Nigga, you can't say nigga.
You can say whatever you want, bro.
The West Coast has subtle racism. South is like, oh, no, we're racist. The West Coast is like, it's like subtle racism.
Yeah, like, don't you like, I feel like that's better. It's like, at least you know where you stand, you know, which side of the fence you're on.
The South is better?
Well, I feel like, at least you know who,
better,
who's who.
More,
you know? Because now it's like, you get in other places, like, people are racist, but they don't want to let you know they're racist. You know?
It's more black and white, no pun intended.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, I think that's better. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, how do you feel about all this racism shit going on? And I mean, just this whole year kind of deal.
I mean,
coming from the South too, you know.
You
don't talk like you're from the South at all,
man.
Yo, you really got spaghetti?
Yeah, I really do. You want some?
No.
fire.
I told you
bro.
I wasn't gonna eat spaghetti twice in a day,
bro. Bro,
is it from your wait? What's your hat says Alfredo's?
Oh yeah. This is Freddie Gibbs hat. Gibbs hat. Yeah. this is from Bootleggers. Shout out to Bootleggers. They gotta give me my sponsorship.
Vegas classic that you need to put me on?
Yeah, I got you. It's right down the street.
Really?
It's on Las Vegas Boulevard. Yes, sir. Ski.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Ski.
Thanks for telling me about that one.
I've never been there.
He doesn't leave the north, so. You know, if it's like Sahara and South, he's not going.
No, what are you talking about? He's still in the Southwest.
Oh, you did. You see him in the Southwest. Oh, my bad. I retract my statement.
Is that when I met you? When you were, right?
I lived down the street from you.
I've
been living over there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All
right. When I met him, he was in the Southwest.
Let's tell me about white people. Come on. Tell me about how much you hate white people.
No, I'm not gonna say. you're not gonna get me canceled. Nah, man. But I've seen some things in the South. It's way more like prevalent. Where like if they don't like you, they will make it known.
Right.
Every chance they probably, especially if you like do anything or get caught up in the justice system. Like I've seen them like, you know, you'll think you're okay, you know, a white dude's gonna take a lesser charge than obviously like an African American would. But like, you know, it's just.
Did you ever be like, all right, sir, I'm gonna go and fuck your daughter? Did you ever, you know, like growing
up? Nah.
I had a friend, bro. I went to school in Ohio, bro, and yo, that was like, it's so funny because you knew these white girls in college came from racist families, but they love black dudes, bro. They love black dudes.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact. That's
so funny.
We can testify to that.
Shouts to. Okay, never mind. Let's change the subject. But
why?
Nothing. I started drinking. So when I start drinking, my filter goes really out the window. But
yeah.
So let's get back to the music, though, man. So you guys kind of found like a little lane, like, you know, I talked to Brandon about this a little bit too, but, you know, like artists like Tux and art, like different kinds of, you know, like almost subgenres of hip hop, mm-hmm. You know, like, do you see these little pockets of hip hop as like the beginning of like what's hot and what's going to be next? Or do you kind of just see it as like individual artists just making music and that's what comes out? Or do you see it as a type of music?
Yeah. Both. I believe that they're all their own entity and they're very good at being themselves,
mm-hmm.
and nothing can stop them from doing that. And that's the part that I love. And then I think that just like how like rock has like, oh, it's metal, it's hardcore, it's punk, it's alternative. Like I just named four right there. But with rap and hip hop, we haven't got to that point to differentiate them.
Yeah.
So like that's where we're at now in hip hop, I feel like.
Yeah, there's
so.
Yeah, you kind of have to do. There has to be like a label, like a different genre, like, you know what I mean, of hip hop. It has to be like pop or something, whatever the case is.
This kind of subgenres.
Yeah, there
I guess like trap, and
no,
but
no. There's way more subgenres. They're just not hitting the mainstream yet.
Yeah.
They're just not known yet. But there's a ton of different subgenres in hip hop. I feel like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How is it working? How's your experience been so far working with artists, like from behind the scenes standpoint?
I mean, it's been great. I mean, I feel like I've always kind of been behind the scenes, but it's great. You know what I mean? I mean, any opportunity that I've came across because of Brandon,
mm-hmm.
it's always been great. I mean, I'm thankful for it. I haven't had not one bad experience, so mm-hmm. There's nothing bad I can say about it.
Yeah.
I mean. Sounds boring, but it's just the truth of it is.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. It's kind of hard to put, like, your finger on what exactly goes on and kind of hard to describe, like, you know. I feel you. It's very elusive. Yeah, like, the industry's elusive, huh?
Some weeks it'll be, like, a ton. Like, I feel like we'll do a ton. Like, we'll be in L.A. and then, like, this something will happen and then this will happen and then we got to go do this and then, like, sometimes it's just chill. I don't know, it kind of all blends together at this point.
Yeah, it's not, it's like, it's not a normal job. It's hard, and I understand, but it's like, it's hard to describe because it's like, you know, especially with people that have always worked hard, like regular jobs, you know, and they have a real job description,
mm-hmm.
you know. But what are some of like the things you do?
everything.
Okay, but what specific? Like five things. Name five things.
Schedule releases. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I've done a lot with my artists. I'm very hands on with them. Like, traveling to different states to set up their bank accounts. Yeah, you know what I mean, like, it's a clearing lot of, records, exactly. Everything, like.
Clearing records.
A lot, man.
Setting them up with other
artists, everything. Mean, like,
doing the networking for them so that, you know, to present them more opportunities in the future. Like, you know what I mean? It's stuff like that. And, like, with a passion job like this, I feel like it's not really, like.
It's kind of hard to, like, say, what do you do? Because it's, like, it's
whatever
so.
Whatever it takes, huh?
It's kind of, it's, like, whatever it takes.
Or
it's
whatever
like,
comes.
Yeah. It's, like, so ingrained. Like, my artists are so ingrained in, like, my everyday life at this point that it's, like, become a blur on when you're like, oh, what are you supposed to do? It's like, I don't know. Because
like you talk every day.
I talk to them every day, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like, it's like all day, all night, you know?
You like, does the relationship line get blurred between business and friendship?
Not with like the group. The group of artists that we're working with, like just the chemistry that we have, it's good. Like they respect me as their manager and stuff like that, but we're all still boys, and like, you know, also they're younger than me. Mm-hmm. So like at the same time, like I kind of be doing like my own shit. Like I'm not staying up till like 5 a.m. every night in the studio because like
you gotta set a boundary somewhere.
Yeah, I kind of it's not even like, you know, consciously setting a boundary, but those boundaries like set themselves. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like. I can't do what you do because I have to be up at like 7 a.m. to like
take the dog out.
not even that, but like to work. Costs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, to work, bro. Yeah. Because like even outside of my artist, like I still got to make money other ways. You know what I'm saying? Like I still got to do things to, you know, just grow other businesses and you know just keep moving. So it's. I don't have the luxury of just sitting in the studio making music. It's not even really a luxury because that's their job, but you know what I mean? Like, my tasks are different, and, like, my mindset's different. So, naturally, by just being, like, focused on kind of, like, what I have to do and just, like, where I am, like, I'm not an artist, bro. So, those boundaries kind of, like, create themselves, you know? Like, where we record out of, it's, like, a crib. Everyone lives there.
Yeah.
Like a content house almost?
Nah, it's not even a content house because we're not making content. We just make, we're making music, but we're not like vlogging or anything like
but
that.
It's like a creative house though.
Like a creative, there's someone there making music the whole time. That's where we stay.
Organically.
The producers, the engineers, the entire team and like all my artists work out of this one place. And
that's crazy.
So it's just all together, you know what I mean? So like I'll go to bed and they'll be recording and I'll wake up and they'll still be recording, you know, or like, so there's just like those boundaries. Like they just create them themselves, but we're still cool. Like we talk.
Do you feel like as you're getting older and those like obvious boundaries, like those natural boundaries, those natural differences that you have with your artist, you think that's going to make you more efficient?
Yeah, they get it. Like they get it. Like,
because you see some young artists with like 45-year-old, 50-year-old managers, you know? And I think that works, you know, because it's not like they're
yes and no. Yeah. Because it's like both, because we hang out with them so much.
Exactly.
We hang out with them so much. So that's what I said. Like there's boundaries that have like created them, like that have naturally just been put there. You know what I'm saying? You know, like I don't spend every waking moment with them. Like they have their own crib. I don't really go over there. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You know what I mean? Like I go over there, we'll kick it. But I'd be like, yo, go do your own thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But we hang out. But even while doing that, like, we hang out so much. And then I feel like, you know, their friends come around and, like, we're just, you know, there's more and more. So you have to be kind of somewhat in tune. Like, you have to hang out with these people if you want to be efficient. You know what I mean? Like, because you have to
have a bond.
Yeah, you got to know the music. You got to know, like, what they're listening to. You got to know what, like...
just an authentic bond.
Yeah.
Just like having authentic.
It has
bond.
To be authentic. Like you can't just be like, oh, I'm the manager and I just like chill at the crib and like I talk to him every day. Like if I'm not hanging out with him every day, I talk to him every day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like multiple times. You know
how did those recording sessions in the house go? Or is there like rules to the house? So no girls over.
You know, it's crazy. That doesn't even happen. We don't even have to say that, bro. That's just not a thing.
It's like
it's really work, huh?
It's kind of like our own little pocket.
And that's crazy because there's no
super crazy. Nobody's on some fuck shit.
No. It's a non fuck shit environment.
There's a one person that's on some fuck shit.
No, man.
Or I just can't. Or just needs a girl around, or a couple girls around, whatever.
Or is just always doing too much.
Yeah.
We don't even really smoke weed like that.
Nah, we'll take it. Well, I mean, we smoke.
We smoke, but of course.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
But the music, the creation is like the music is the first. Comes first.
So the way that it works, for example, if Koi was to come over, Koi records by himself.
That's what he does.
He'll record with me in the room or Gabe or that's it. But more than that, he's not doing it. He's good at doing him. That's just how he's comfortable. So in the morning, early, sometimes Koi will pull up and then Koi will be in there for a few hours and that's mad chill because it's just Koi doing Koi and I'm on my laptop.
In the morning.
Yeah, bro. We start. The session will end at 6 in the morning, and then somebody a Koi or someone else will come in at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And then it goes again. And then we have an
engineer. Switch out?
Yeah, so we have an engineer from that moved out from Arizona. His name's Nick. So Nick has,
He's with them.
All my artists live together.
Everything a lot more smooth.
Oh, they live in a separate house than that place?
Yeah.
Yes.
They live 10 minutes down the street in their own place.
Mm.
And then so what'll happen is Koi will record himself. So if he wants to do a session in the morning, he'll come, he'll do his thing in the morning, and then boom, he'll go about his business. Koi, he does his thing. He has a girl, you know what I'm saying? He's chill, does his thing. He's very hands-on with his stuff, so it's different. All the connections with all of them and how they work is differently. It's all different, but it all flows together. Yeah. It all flows together. Mm-hmm. So boom, Koi will leave, and then say depending on how late Tuck stayed in there or Jack stayed in there, one of them will show up, mm-hmm. or then we'll bring in we'll bring in an outside artist that's a homie of ours.
It'll be a whole other artist.
That's not even in the camp, but just a homie. So we'll be boom, studio's open.
Yeah. Okay. And whoever that person is will still be a genuine relationship.
Yeah, it'll still be a homie.
Somebody that's okay, we know they're not going to come with that fuck shit.
Another artist will pull up, and then depending on the artist, I'll call Nick, and then Nick will come and engineer, and then when Tux comes in, usually Nick will handle the beginning of the Tux session or do the whole session. Jax usually records late at night, and then when Jax, there's two other engineers that tag in for Jax and two other producers that tag in for Jax at night.
That's crazy.
So two producers, two engineers are sleeping throughout the day. There'll be a whole nother engineer, boom, and then we have a whole production system, and then we're outsourcing. So it's I don't want to say a conveyor belt, but it's an ecosystem.
It's like an ecosystem.
Yeah.
Like a workhouse ecosystem.
Yeah, that's dope, bro. Yeah. That's amazing. And that's in LA, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
man.
Angel, sometimes I'll have Angel pull up.
TMC?
Some shit. And it's just a way for people to get outside their circle because the studio is open mm-hmm. to a lot of people.
There's not nothing like that out here. We need something like that out here, man.
Bro, we don't charge artists either. And this is the studio is $130,000 studio.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Better than any studio you've been to out here for sure, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and for sure. We're letting.
And it's in a house, so you can
It's separate from the house. It's at the house. Oh. It's at a house, but it's not connected to the house at all.
Oh, it's a guest house in the back or something?
It's a converted.
Something, yeah, something. Basically.
Yeah. It's its own building.
So
you don't even have to go through the house to come in the studio.
Yeah.
So everyone that's sleeping inside could be sleeping, mm-hmm. cooking breakfast, whatever. They don't even have to know what's going on in the studio.
Mm.
And it's complete soundproof, so no one, the neighbors can't hear it, no one can hear it.
Damn, that's the setup, bro. Yeah. Damn.
So slick.
So you go through all that, the music's made, you're happy with the song, it's mixed, it's mastered, then what?
And then we figure out how to put it out, It's been very interesting because I would say a lot of the guys are at a big reset period right now just because of the elevation of equipment and resources and things like that. Everyone's sound is elevating. And then Like Tux, his sound's completely going in a whole nother direction. It's where he's off of like floating between like this rap thing. He's kind of he's going definitely more like alternative.
Yeah.
Punk. I wouldn't even want to say punk, but like more rock driven.
Oh, yeah, really?
Like live instruments.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like it'd be a
so like boy. It's more of like a sound that's gonna take more time.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It's a sound that's gonna take like more time. And that was like a big reset.
Yeah, he was I love his music though. He's like pop. He was like poppy rap kind of.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
And it was like wavy. It's wavy, bro.
Yeah, it's like way different now. Yeah. And then like really? Jax. Yeah, and then we have like Jax, who is he has like a really big voice, like a really really big voice,
mm-hmm.
and his melodies are crazy. It's like all over the place, not all over the place, but it's like
very mature.
Just it's different. It's like definitely something in its own that like once it develops the way it's supposed to, it's gonna be crazy. But Jax is making insane records. And then, like I said, Koi, he just records himself, but he got all his music stolen.
No. Yeah. Recently?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, like, everyone's
and out of his house? Like, no, on a hard drive?
Someone broke into his car and stole
Took
his
the laptop.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh,
so, everyone's
why,
at like this.
Why is he leaving the laptop in the car?
Whatever.
God damn, Koi.
But everyone's at like this, like, reset period. But it's cool. It's fine. Like, no one's, like, stressed.
Yeah. You can always make more music, man.
Yeah. And we have tons of records, like, it's just about getting it lined up to come out correctly. I think everyone's past the point of just being like, oh, I have music, so drop it.
Yeah, well, what does that mean, though?
Even with, like, what do you mean? Like, getting it ready?
Coming out correctly, what does that mean?
So for one, Tux is in a whole different position. He's not just, like, a kid. This is just for example. He's just not, like, the kid that's on SoundCloud and blah, blah, blah. Like, we want to work with more credible producers.
Mm-hmm.
We want to work with, you know, songwriters, composers, things like I said, we want to make it's just about making the best record possible.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like Tux is an incredible songwriter, but like when it comes to making like a great record, there's no ego there. It's just like we're in the studio, we're trying to make hits, like hits.
Period.
Just like that's it. So like having that understanding, sometimes there's more hands that get put into the pot or that work on records and things like that. And there's other teams that you have to work with.
Yeah.
And like when you're making records like that, sometimes like they take time, like things take time
the
to come
process
up. The
is
process.
A lot
yeah.
More, is
yeah.
Like,
there's, yeah. It's a process. Like you want it mixed, right? You want it mastered, right? Mm-hmm. You want it like, you know what I mean? You want the record cleared. You want everything. We're doing things. He's independent. Like he was signed. He's not signed anymore. He's independent.
Yeah.
And so like, we're kind of trying to treat it as if he was still signed, you know, like the respect and like the handling of records as if he was still signed, even as an independent artist, because like we just want that quality attached to his brand. Yeah. Even outside of like, even with Jack, someone who's like relatively new to like the scene and like, you know, is still being developed. I hate saying develop, bro, because it's like this. He's got it. You know what I'm saying? Like he's got it. So
it's a constant evolution.
Yeah,
so,
he's still on the come up. So even someone like him, like we're all taking the time to just like get it as good as possible. And it's not even like necessarily like sitting on records and perfecting them and going back. It's just about stacking up records, having a good selection of records to pick through, and then like when we're creating. Having that environment to where like just top notch songs are being made,
right? Yeah.
And so that like I said that detail, having that detail or like having that focus, it's not as easy as just getting on a beat. It's not as easy as just like, oh, I recorded this song last week, so I'm gonna put it out. Like,
right.
It's everyone, even Koi, everyone, the whole team, like everyone is like really attention to detail right now. And it may have slowed down things a little bit. But it's worth it. I feel like it's worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like it's definitely worth it.
So what other conversations like do you have about after the music's done about what, when and how and where? Like,
so
what do you is there like a checklist, like need cover art, send it out, need a video, check, you know, what are we gonna do with this and that?
Yeah. So like I said, all my artists are independent. So there's no like. Label funding any of this. Like when you see a Koi release or you see anything that's like the team, anything from like even Tux's latest stuff, like that's like the team doing that. And because it's so hands on, like there is kind of a checklist that we go through and stuff like that. It's just, like I said, things take time because we don't have like these funds or these things that, but we're trying to present things to the quality to where like if you saw it, you'd be like, well, these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? So we're every day or every release, we're like studying new things, new techniques to put into marketing, things like that, to like where as like an independent team, we are maximizing every tool that we have. We're like, we're taking advantage of it, and we're maximizing every step that we take. We're like, you know, so
treating ourselves like we are the label.
Making sure
everything's on that type of level.
So like even with like someone like Koi having his music stolen, you know, he dropped 3 weeks ago, and then now he just dropped Big, and then right after Big, a week later came the video. Like these our rollouts are still getting tighter and tighter, and things are getting better and better. So like there are these checklists, and there are things that we're finding like, okay, cool. And what's dope about like the team is that the artists are learning. Like I don't just do everything and just like tell my artists to go play, you know, PlayStation or go whatever, sit in the studio, just make. So like every release that I do with all of them, like I talk to them. I let them, like, we work together, you know what I mean? Like, they're learning, you know, they're calling me and be like, yo, let's try this, you know? Like, every release, everything's getting better and better better.
They're thinking more of, like, the music than...
As a business. They're still very, like, focused on, like, the creativity, but at the same time, they're treating their music with, like, so much more respect. And, like, to me, that's...
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is, like, everybody cares... Everybody cares about each other. Everybody cares about the next person. Like, there's no, like, oh, well, it's no slack here. It's like, no. Everybody cares. Yeah.
How many people are you guys working with right now? Like, that would you say? Is it
behind the scenes or artist-wise?
Just total. Like, the circle that makes the wheel turn. Like, what is it?
There's, like... Artists,
like your little mini label, little mini independent label. Why don't you just start a fucking label?
We kind of have.
What's it called?
It's called.
Had this conversation.
No, like everything's done, bro. Like it's done.
Oh,
like,
it's done.
It's like
you didn't fucking tell me about it. You cocksucker.
It's like a legit business. Like everything, bro. Like
you tell me you did a management company.
Yeah, I got that too. It's like trademarked and everything, bro. We're like working on trademarks and everything, bro.
You're trash, man.
So like
We talk every day, but my boy didn't let me know.
Yeah. So now we got like an indie label and. It's a little bit too early. Like it's too early to say right now, but it's like it's done. Yeah, but it's like,
man, is it called Brandon's label?
No,
called Brandon's label.
Nah, it's a different concept. Like it's a very interesting concept, and I don't know.
How many artists are on it?
Zero.
Yeah. Okay. Zero.
Why? Why is there zero artists?
It's an interesting concept. I don't know. I don't want to like say too much, but
it's too early to speak and
give. What is this, a 2021 thing?
Give the sauce.
Is this a 2021 thing or what?
I don't want to say that it's not being done. I just
No, a 2021 thing.
Like, oh yeah. Okay. I thought you meant like, is this like a new concept or something like that? Nah,
it's already being worked, but as far as like being probably next year, it'll be 2021
for sure.
Presented.
Yeah. Take your time, man. Oh, damn, I keep yawning. My bad. I've been working since 6 a.m. But
And that pasta, those cars trying to knock me out right now, dog.
Golly.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
But we're talking about labels. Do you want to talk about the Tux situation?
Publicly? It's just...
Well, just your experience with it, you know? Because, I mean, the things you've told me is kind of like, you know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned in that situation. So if you want to speak on that, I think a lot of people can learn from it.
I just got to say, like, you know... you get into situations and sometimes like they don't work out, That doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, that's just literally, that's like, bro, that's like, that's like, that's what it is.
What a safe response, bro.
That's what it is, bro. Like,
in a nutshell,
It's like, that's the best way to put it, dude. Like, I can't sit here and be like, oh, so and so did this or so and so did that or like, this didn't go this way.
Yeah.
Bro, at the end of the day, like, different things work out for different people, right?
Right.
What they probably saw, you know, in Tux at first, you know, they probably weren't getting that, whatever, bro, like, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or whatever Tuck saw in that situation, mm-hmm. it didn't pan out to be what he thought it was, like, whatever, bro, but, like, situations happen, and, like, it's fine, like, mm-hmm. like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he's gonna do him, and they're gonna do them, and, like, there's no reason to even, like, think about it, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's over with now, so.
It's done, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's done. Like, we've been there, did that, cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not finna stop. We're not finna stop. So, like, that's the way I see it, bro. There's no, like, there's nothing really to say with it. It happens with everybody.
Yeah.
And everything.
What did you learn from that situation, from your position in that? Same thing?
Same shit. It's like, you know what I mean? I just, same shit, bro.
Yeah. So what do you got? Three to summarize the music industry. Three words to summarize the music industry from your perspective. Being in LA, working with major labels, working with solidified people, artists, being around, you know, DJing.
Bro, it's just I love it. I don't know. If there's three words, you want three words?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm saying three words, but yeah. Think of three words that describe your music industry experience. Okay. Would you?
I don't know, man. It's like any job.
Yeah.
I don't.
Is it like any job though?
It is.
No, I don't think it is because you got fame involved.
Nigga, I'm not famous.
I know, but the possibility of being famous is involved in this.
I don't even.
This.
Yeah, but bro, but that's like that's not even like that's not even
fame is leverage in your business. So
bro,
everybody
that's not
wants
even
to
how
be famous.
I look. No, like no, yeah, yes and no, dude. Like
yeah,
it's not. How is it not?
Because
there's people that you have no idea who they are that have more leverage than
exactly.
the probably a nigga that you do know who
they
are.
Okay.
Exactly. And,
okay.
and those are the people that really matter. And then like the, and then that's
it,
a lot.
It goes both ways.
Exactly.
Like fame has nothing to do with success. You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. there's people that have success that dictate who becomes famous that you have no idea who they are. Like
you think that's how it works?
Yeah. What do you mean? I think that's how
that dictates.
Bro, there's definitely gate. If you don't think there's gatekeepers in music, like you're
no, for sure. But yeah. But like,
and you wouldn't know their face,
and you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't
yeah.
know their face, and you wouldn't know their name.
Who are they?
What do you mean? Who are they? It's a bunch of people.
Yeah,
it's like it could be anyone.
Is it the
like,
label that's, heads that's, and shit,
bro. It could be anyone. It could be you. Like you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I don't know what's gonna happen to you next week, bro. You might walk outside and find the next whoever, bro.
Yeah.
Like
I think you think it's a position, but in overall, it's like there's those type of people at every level.
Yeah.
So at like how you were saying, like, oh, is it the label of this or that, or it could be anyone at every level.
Because
each of them can be a gatekeeper in their own way for what that is.
Like
so, you know what I'm saying?
There's like, always like a final boss you got to get past.
You gotta. Yes and no. The opportunity is the final boss, not the person per se.
Yeah.
But then there's certain people that create those opportunities by being around them or that have the power to create that opportunity for you or you know what I'm saying? It's like all over the place, man. It's something that you just
can't pinpoint.
You just learn as much as you can, make as many friends, be as efficient as possible. And,
but isn't that your goal as a music manager is to make your artist famous?
Yeah, no, that is the goal. Well, it's like okay, yeah.
Doesn't that suck to say?
It's not even to be famous, bro. I don't look at music as like fame, bro. I look at it as like success. You know what I'm saying?
Success.
If
good product.
If one of my guys were making, you know, M's songwriting, I think they'd be okay with that if they weren't necessarily, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, obviously they have their brands and things like that, but there's so many ways to be successful and well off in music that, like, so many people don't think about. And that's what's cool about, like, the situation is because bro, they're writing songs for each other. They're writing songs for other people. They're writing crazy songs, bro. Like,
good. You got them writing for other people.
Yeah, they're doing everything. They're doing Koi produces.
Yeah, that's a bag.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're doing everything, and they have access to the studio. So that's what I mean. Like, someone's in there 20 hours out of 24 hours, bro. Mm-hmm. And that's not just like making a song. That's like experimenting, you know what I mean? Like, I get crazy songs from them every day. Mm-hmm. Like, there's an artist, his name's Loser. He just moved out to LA, moved in with my guys.
Oh, the white dude.
Yeah.
Bro, he's from here, huh?
No, he's from like between like Barstow and LA, like some random like town in California. Uh-huh. He can make a song about anything. Mm. Anything. Like anything. And you'll hear it and you'll laugh and you'll be like, whoa, like, that was deep.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So there's so many ways to do it. So many ways to do it.
Yeah. Other than like, you know, than just thinking like, oh, I'm just trying to get you famous.
Or yeah. I'm here to bring them success, not necessarily fame, bro. Yeah. Fame comes, if you're good at being successful, fame will come. People will know who you are.
It's a byproduct of success.
Yeah.
What do you feel about like the music, like the overabundance of artists these days? Do you feel like do you just get fed up, you know, just listening to so many different people? And do you feel like, because yo, I don't know about you, Gabe, but Brandon has his finger on the pulse of the underground music scene.
For sure.
I don't understand how he has the patience and and how he has the mental capacity to sit there and really like filter through these songs. And I don't get it, bro.
I don't even really have this.
Yeah, you know,
how do you?
I don't even have to, bro. Like, I just be. I live in, like, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess you're in the world, so it's easier.
Exactly.
But,
I hang out. Literally, all I do is all day long, I talk to artists.
Yeah.
I hang out with artists.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I live with artists.
So how long are you guys gonna do this? Are you guys like, what do you see your future in music?
I got a lot of plans for this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's what, like, you know, separates me from a lot of niggas, bro.
So
like,
music is it for you guys. When you think about your life and you think about your future, I figured with Brandon, but I don't really know you that as well as I do Brandon.
Yeah, I would definitely say so, only because, like, as we were saying earlier, like, kind of when you're doing something like you love, mm-hmm. it's not as much, like I said, we all have close relationships where it's not kind of as much work. Like, when I'm out with him, I don't feel like it's work. Like, I was friends with him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I became friends with him and it grew from that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like, oh, like, and that's why I feel like I can do this for however long I need to do anything, because anything I do within this industry or the genre, it just feels natural. It's something I want to do. I don't count it as, oh, I'm working. Like, hey, I got to, like, if people wake up in the morning and they're like, I don't want to go to work. Me, I'm like, yo,
that's me.
What's there to do? What's there to do? Oh, yo, that's what's up. Let's go do that. Like, let's go do this. So it is in the sense of, it's the only thing I could see myself doing happily. Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. There's like, so like, bro, there's so many ways to do it. Like, you just gotta be clever, just like any other business. Like, there's 100 ways to the top. So cool. Like, I'm managing artists. I DJ. Like, doing this label stuff. Like, there's a lot that I want to do in music. To where, like, not even looking at it to be rich, bro. But it's just, I'm trying to do good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to do what I feel like would push things forward. And, you know, hopefully by pushing things forward, it brings me success, you know, like, mm-hmm. even with like the label stuff, like, I don't want to like say too much, but it's just different. Like, the way we're trying to do things, it's just different. Mm-hmm. And I'm working with people that I want to work with, you know, working with like other management teams that I want to work with, things like that. Like, I started a consulting firm. So like, I'm consulting for other managers, I'm consulting for artists, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just working,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm just putting myself out there. So
right.
I mean, it's not just gonna be from like the percentages I make off artists, bro. Like, I don't want that to be what makes me in music. Like, it's gonna be me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, no, you definitely, with the consulting, I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, but I think that's a great idea. Consulting. Consulting. Right. 'Cause you're a good consultant, man. You consult me on my life. You're my like my life consultant sometimes, dude. But so what do you think has been holding you back as far as like ascending to the next level thus far? Is it resources or is it
I'm not even like looking at it being like held back, bro. Like things.
I feel like
I mean, what do you mean? Like, why am I not rich? Like,
not rich. It's just like it's just like more power.
I've never worked like I've never worked at a label. Mm-hmm. I've never like
that's something that I am still blown away by.
My route wasn't traditional, bro. And also like I'm a little bit older, so
you're not even 30 yet.
I know, but still, like, bro, there wasn't no one telling me who was doing this around us like at all, bro.
Nobody.
Like,
who,
okay.
Yeah, but but why have you not?
I don't
signed
know.
Up to be to work for a label.
I don't want to. I don't know. Like I don't want.
I think doing it his own way and like the way that he likes to do it with the people. Because once you get involved with the label, then everything that we talked about with being close with it and friends and it not feeling like work,
it's all business.
All that flips around because mm-hmm. now it's no.
There's someone else's agenda behind it now. Like now, exactly. My agenda to work with you is to further this company's. You know what I mean. To you know, make sure that this company's getting the return on the investment is to make sure that like I look good in front of this boss is to make sure that I move up in this company. Like, so now like my interaction with musicians and my interaction with music has completely changed to someone else's motives and someone else's objectives mm-hmm. to where like, bro, all my artists are basically signed to my label, but they're not like, you know what I'm saying? Like we work together, we do whatever, you know what I'm saying?
It's trust.
Like, I mean, there's like, you know what I'm saying? Like there's paperwork and shit like that, but it's like no one is stuck, bro. Yeah. Like no one is stuck. Yeah. And if tomorrow, if I was like, yo, I don't want to work on your music, like, or whatever, bro, like they'll be like, fine, whatever, cool.
Yeah. They don't feel trapped or anything.
Nothing,
you know what that reminds me of is getting married, you know, and getting it legally, like a contractual legal marriage. Like then you're like feel like, oh my god, like you know, there's no easy escape.
You have something to be upheld to.
Yeah, there's no easy escape. Like, and then you feel trapped when there's no easy escape.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you know, all the extra bullshit happens. So that's good. You know, I think that's the wave of the future for real because. You know, almost every artist now, you know, really talks of a lot of artists. The conversation is definitely open air about labels fucking these artists. Yeah. You know, especially
like,
in hip hop.
Bro, if I hang out with too many artists, like naturally, to just be like, oh, ta-da, I work at it. It just wouldn't feel right, bro. Because I wouldn't want to sign any of my friends. Like, yeah. I wouldn't want to sign anybody. You know what I'm saying?
You just
like,
help them. Yeah, when you.
I would if I was to. A&R somewhere, like whatever, bro. Like I would literally be on the hunt for like random people I have no relationship with I just wouldn't want to change the balance of things that I have going with like these people that are so close to me, you know? Like I wouldn't want to be like, oh, I work at a label, let me bring my artist over here, or like I know this dope artist. Like,
you see that happen a lot, huh?
You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, it's different for literally it's different for every single person.
Like,
bro, I don't hate labels. Like, it's not like I hate labels.
No, I think they're like, it's almost like a necessary evil.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a necessary evil. So, like, I don't hate them. I don't, you know, they're there.
They play their role, though, still, you know? They still have a role.
Yeah, but for me, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I would be in a building. Like, I'm also not a 19-year-old intern or, like, you know what I'm saying, bro? Like,
an ass kisser.
Yeah, that's not. That's
head of the A&R department or some bullshit.
Yeah, bro, I argue with everybody, so like that's not gonna. That's just not gonna go well, bro. Yeah. I gotta get it out like myself.
Yeah.
Is that what's that? What is that? Oh, but yeah, man, that's that's no. I see that happening. I'm just so curious. Because I feel like if you worked for a label, it might have like, you know, you might have learned some things, man. You might have got in there and, you know, I don't know.
For sure.
I don't know. But I respect your decision to not do it is what I'm trying to say. Really.
Yeah, no, I definitely would have like probably had more industry friends. I probably would have known a couple of things, you know what I'm saying, that I may not know, or I probably would have learned things a little bit faster. But then like It would have been every idea that I ever had or, like, any vision that I ever had would have been suppressed by someone else's.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, go up the ladder.
Yeah, I would have to just...
Yeah, it's the corporate bullshit. Yeah, so... Damn, man. Well, you've definitely had a run, man. You've definitely had a fucking run and so far in the music industry, for sure.
I feel like it's not shit, bro. It's not even shit.
Not at all.
Well, I mean, you've had some accomplishments. I mean, you both have, you know? You've been in the rooms with people. You've been...
Bro, that's not...
You've been on tour.
The run hasn't even started, man. Yeah, the race hasn't even started, bro.
All right, you guys are so humble, man.
No, it's just like... When you're doing something every day, and it's not even like gauging your success to someone else's success. You just know that there's so much to be done. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot. Like, I haven't done shit. Like, there's so many accolades. There's so many things that still need to be done. What are some of your goals, bro? Bro, like, I want, you know, gold, platinum record. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I've worked with artists of that caliber and things like that. I've been in sessions with songs but I want to be able to be like, yo, like, I'm executive producing some shit. Like, I'm getting into that now. Like, there's a lot of people that are hitting me up to do, like, a lot of their projects. So I'm stepping into, like, the A&R, like, this, just like the
executive producer.
Executive producer role, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, the independent A&R role with, like, touching records more. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I always did. And it was just, like, I never really encroached on artists. I was just in the rooms and doing stuff and just, you know, making money and doing just plays, bro. But, like, now I'm trying to, like, really, really solidify things on paper, like, in credits, you know what I mean? Like, I want my credits on records now.
That's what you need, bro.
Shit like that, you know?
You need the credit, bro.
Yeah, so I'm just approaching it a little bit differently, and there's a lot.
Is A&R-ing dead?
No.
Like, what does an A&R do in today's world?
A lot. You're supposed to help develop, you know, this artist, the aesthetic for the artist, the rollout. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to,
help connect the artist,
run these sessions, you know, build their projects. It's a lot. Like, you're an extension as an A&R. You're supposed to be like the extension of the artist, right? You're supposed
With all these independent artists and all these at-home studios and all these and the internet, these artists can connect their damn selves with.
It's not even about connecting. You know? It's about, like, you're supposed to be a curator, like a tastemaker. Yeah. Like, you're supposed to see. You're supposed to be the second pair of eyes on this artist's brand and this artist's aesthetic their music, and you're supposed to, you know, be able to relate with the artist and then also relate with the consumer and the market at the same time and bring those two visions together. So, like, as an artist, your vision as an artist is whatever you see, right? It may not align with, like, what a consumer may see or what, like, the market may see what, you know, may just be the best bet. Like, you may feel so strongly about a record because you put maybe a lot of time into it or maybe because you felt there's a certain emotion to it or you become attached to records. But sometimes it just doesn't sound like it's not the best song, you know? Yeah, yeah. And so, like, as an A&R, like, that's a person that could step in and you know, bring another opinion to that situation, like, to that situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, be the bridge between the artist, the label, and the consumer, or like, you know.
So to me, it sounds like if you're an artist, you're working with somebody. I think A&R is more. I think the definition of an A&R has changed. So I think that's what I'm getting at. Maybe or expanded for sure. But I think as an artist, what I'm hearing is like, yo, if you're an artist and you have somebody around you, like, giving you opinions or something, I would want him to be like you, or you come from music and DJ, you know, has a real opinion on music and not a fucking, you know, like, bro, there's, you know, suit and tie, you know, kind
of
dude.
Yeah, there's different types of A&Rs, bro. Like, there's, and also, like, of course, A&R is like find talent and scout talent and sign talent, depending on, like, you know, where you are. There's research guys.
Yeah.
There's music guys. There's producers that are A&Rs. There's different people that have different backgrounds, you know, like.
Right.
Personally, I DJ, bro. Like, the reason why I work in music is because I love music. Like, I grew up listening to, like, an obscene amount of music.
You come from breaking.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. So, like, it's not even about research. I could care less about numbers on a song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the numbers don't mean anything to me when I, like, hear music.
Nothing?
No, bro. No. I don't care about
numbers. They don't mean anything?
No, numbers do mean numbers. Yeah, it is about the numbers, but like when it comes to listening,
I don't care.
I don't care if it has 2 million plays, 50 million plays, or 2 plays, bro, or 5 plays. Like,
are you skeptical of numbers?
What do you mean, like fluffing numbers or plays
and views and shit?
Yeah.
Like when you see them, are you like,
you can buy, put it this way, bro. You can buy anything. You can buy anything. If you want to buy a million Spotify plays, there's a way for you to get a million Spotify plays. If you want a million YouTube plays, there's a way for you to get a million. You can do, if you have money and can figure out how to do it, you can do anything. You can make anything look like anything. You know what I'm saying? Trust me when I tell you that everything that you see is not what it is.
Right.
When you see songs that have like these crazy numbers or doing M's and M's and M's, like you don't know how much it costs to get those songs to those M's, bro. You know what I'm saying? It just not everything just goes up organically. Trust me. It takes money to make money in every business, and music is like no different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like the songs on the radio. None of us are listening to that shit, you know? But they're paid.
But they're being played.
Highly funded. Yeah.
So I want to touch on something real quick about, you know, just success and coming out of Vegas. And, you know, I've noticed a trend that I like to bring up as a topic. And Brandon, you are another prime example of that, sir, in the sense of coming out of Las Vegas. And, you know, the people that have come out of Vegas and seen, you know, success outside of Vegas and seen real success, especially in the music industry, they all seem to not be so caught up, emotionally wrapped up in the Vegas scene.
Bro, I don't know what's going on here.
And you, there you go.
I mean, like, it's different. It's different, man. Like,
I'm just trying to figure out.
Bro, I'm not in high school in Las Vegas anymore, so I don't know about, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not catching every 18-year-old, 19-year-old rapper or person at a house party, you know what I'm saying? It's different. But
you've been this way for a long time, though, because you had to be that way. You've kind of set yourself apart, you know? Yeah. You've been setting yourself apart, you know, and you've never really been worried about what's going on in the city. You're not worried about showing up to every event in the city. You're not worried about any of that, and that in turn has, you know, allowed you to, you know, kind of expand your mind, I guess, maybe.
Yes and no, because think about, like, everything I've done as far as, like, for, not necessarily for the music scene per se, but, bro, like, I mean.
You've definitely been involved.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously.
I was DJing, like, tons of shows.
Yeah,
you've definitely
been involved, but like, you know, you've never been so wrapped up in the city. That what I'm saying is, like, you know, emotionally invested to a point where, you know, this is all you see. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
I think that goes back on the outlook of, like, how we said, like, getting out of where you're from helps you see the broader picture of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, like, when you do start seeing the broader picture of things, you just start, like, kind of separating yourself from, like, the people that don't.
Yeah,
so
bro.
It's kinda
I never had, like, I don't know. Even when I was a teenager, bro, I had friends in other places. Like, I've never been stuck here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because of breaking, I was, like, traveling mad young and shit like that. So I was like, that's what, like, really did it for me, bro. It was, like, going to jams and shit and then being, like, seeing some other, like, 17-year-old, 16-year-old kid in, like, Utah or Arizona or, like, wherever, bro, and then being like, oh, shit, you're tight. And then, like, going home and just making friends with, like, people that just did what you did but in another place, you know? And, like, cool, like, I didn't see this nigga every day or, like, see this person or whoever, like, friends in other states every day, but, like, we had something in common that kept us connected for, like, years, bro. Like, I have friends, literally, that I met from when I was, like, 16 that lived in different states that I probably talked to more than niggas that I, like, lived here with and saw every day, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, like, from doing that, I was able to make connections with people, like, all over the world mad young.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, like, something that I learned was, like, very important is that there's people everywhere, bro. And, like, there's, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's people.
Well, I bring this up, bro, because that's an important thing to make because we all see it. I mean, I'm guilty of it, too, myself. Like, there's been times in my life where I've been, like, so wrapped up in, you know, like, you know, trying to get somebody, blow somebody up out of Vegas or just being so about Vegas that, you know, I just forget to to, expand my horizons. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of people make that mistake here. So
I think like a super important tool for everyone is that whenever you meet someone or, you're dealing with somebody, if you're able to make a connection, like 9 times out of 10, like that person's going to fuck with you way more. If you say, like, if I was to meet someone from Ohio, right? And they're like, I'm like, yo, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yo, where are you from? They're like, Ohio. I mean, like, oh, you know, Skyline Chili or some shit like that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that right there, be like, oh, like, I'm, you know, stepping into their world. I'm letting them know, like, yo, I know something about you, or like I'm making a connection to someone, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm bringing up something that they wouldn't expect me to know about, and boom, we have something in common right off the bat. Right, so then people are more like receptive to you, you know. And that's like something that I learned in breaking, is that like the more people and the more ways of life that you learn, the easier it is for you to just connect with people. And like the better you connect with people, like the better you just move.
The more relationships genuine relationships.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, so like that's what it was, bro. Like with Vegas, like cool, like I can connect with a nigga from Vegas all day. Like I've been here my entire life. But so that doesn't do anything for me. But like being able to like be here and then meet people, all the people. I thought of it this way. I live in a city where like tons and tons and tons and tons of people come here from everywhere. Yeah. You know, it's a tourist place. I have a bigger chance of meeting people just by living here than a lot of other people would in their normal hometowns. I come across millionaires, billionaires, all sorts of people here, bro. Especially like when you're growing up here and you work on the strip. Yeah. Like I worked in fine dining restaurants, all that shit, like when I was younger. So like you're meeting mad people, and it's just about, like I said, from breaking, I just was traveling, I was making connections with tons of people, and I just kept growing that tool, and then it just translated into like being able to do it with artists, because I was talking to artists from other places, and then, like, we were able to connect on music. And
Well, you definitely set an example, man, for a lot of people. I know a lot of people. I know you're off the grid a little bit. You're kind of secluded. You know, you know what I mean? And I think that's good, bro. That's super good, because it's inspiration. Like, you know, just the way you move. I peep game too. You know, and I try to. You know, I do my thing, but I definitely take notes for sure. So
no one knows who I am, bro.
Yeah, they will now, because you're on the most famous podcast in the world, bro.
But it's fine.
You feel me?
I mean,
I'll just put you on blast, man. Hey, let's wrap this up, man. It's getting late. It's 9:20 at night, yo.
Yeah, no, I gotta go meet up with Smurf.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you about to go meet Smurf?
He just texted me.
I'm coming.
No, you went. He's painting.
Where's he at?
He's painting a computer case for me.
Yeah, where's he at?
He's downtown.
Yeah. He's at his house?
I don't know.
I'm coming. All right. Let's wrap this up, man. Gabe, Brandon.
Yo, thanks for having me.
I appreciate you guys, man. Right. You guys are fucking great. I'm excited for your mysterious new record label. You know, if you're hiring, holla at me. You know, I got my email.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's different.
We'll talk about it, but I appreciate you guys pulling up, man.
Yeah, for sure, man.
And until next time, man. Yeah. Peace.
Sure.
Fucking started a record label without me, bro. That's fucked up.